You are listening to Smart Women's Dating Podcast, episode number 67. Welcome to Smart Women's Dating Podcast. I am your host, certified life coach Lærke Nielsen, and I help smart, independent women attract the love they deeply desire without having to chase or settle. This podcast will give you the mindset, tools, and insights you need to finally crack the code to your love life. Are you ready? Then let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. You probably have heard many times that you are supposed to fall in love with yourself, or at least love yourself, before someone else can do it, before you can attract someone who falls in love with you. And falling in love with yourself, that never really resonated with me, because for me, falling in love is a deep fascination, is butterflies in the stomach, missing someone, wanting to be with them all the time. It's almost an obsession. And it feels really strange for me to think like that about myself. But loving yourself, that feels better to me. It's kindness, accept, compassion, understanding, and so on. And a lot of things will follow in your behavior if you love yourself. But I still think that loving yourself, it doesn't fully cover or describe the ideal relationship you want to have with yourself in life. So I like it better, and I find it more accurate to talk about being your own best friend or being your own best partner. And in this episode, I'm going to elaborate on what I mean by that. What does it mean to be your own best partner? I'm going to give you my take on that. And then, of course, I'm going to share with you why that is important, not only in dating, but also inside a relationship and in life in general. But before we dive into it, I want to share with you a client win, because I think it's so important that we celebrate all our wins, and not only the big ones, not only the end goal when we find love, but also the breakthroughs, the steps on the way, the smaller transformations that are important and necessary to go to the big goal. So this is a client of mine, and we'll call her G. And when we started working together, she was coming from an anxious place. She was mostly worried about what men would think about her when she went on dates. She would be worried about whether she was pretty enough, interesting enough, and so on. And she would always try to be in his head to find out, what is he thinking about me? And as I said before, when you are trying to get into his head, then no one is in yours. And you can't go inside there anyway. You can't make him like you if he doesn't do that naturally by himself. It's a bit the story of the peach again. You can be the sweetest and most juicy peach, but if someone prefers apples, you are never going to be his favorite. There's nothing you can do about it. So instead of being a peach that tries to be an apple, it feels so much better to just allow yourself to be the best version of a peach that you can imagine, and just enjoy how amazing it is to be a peach. And so we worked on calling her home to herself and see the value of her uniqueness and how amazing her authentic self is. And now, instead of asking herself, I wonder what he thinks about me, she's now asking herself, what do I think about him? How do I feel in his company? How do I experience the connection between us? And do I want to see him again? And that is, of course, a big shift, because it's so important that we can feel ourselves when we are on a date and not worry about what does the other person think and feel. So I know that many of you want to grow and develop in your dating journey, and you want to step into that next peach version of yourself. And this is, of course, something I can help you with. So let's have a chat about this. I would love to meet you on Zoom and get more specific on how I can help you. And all you have to do is book a free call on the link in the show notes, or go to my Instagram bio at Lærke the Love Coach and book a call on the link in the bio there. So what does it mean to be your own best partner? I was thinking a lot about this when I was preparing this episode, and I know we can include a lot of different things in this concept, but I have identified 7 elements or 7 pieces that I think are important and goes into the concept of being your own best partner. And the first one is about your inner self-talk. choose kind and loving self-talk. And you want to think about how your ideal partner would talk to you and how he would think about you. I want you to cultivate positive thoughts about yourself actively, not just some thoughts that you have once in a while. Really sit down and think about what are the things that you appreciate about yourself. Cultivate that. Remind yourself. Notice when you have a new thought that feels good about yourself. And I know this is something that for many of us, and especially women, will go against what we think we've been told or learned, that we're not supposed to be selfish, we're not supposed to be full of ourselves, and so on. And I even heard some people question whether it wasn't a little bit narcissistic to have these kind of thoughts about yourself. And of course, it has nothing to do with narcissism. And it's also not particularly selfish to have positive thoughts about yourself, because you can also cultivate positive thoughts about other people if you want. This is not about putting yourself in a superior position. It is just about choosing to lean to the positive sides. See the qualities you have. Allow yourself to feel proud of yourself and celebrate yourself. Give more airtime to positive and kind thoughts about yourself than what you do to the criticizing or negative or not enough thoughts. Because here's the thing that I think a lot of us get wrong until we learn about it. And that is that self-love is a choice. It is not something you wake up with one day or that suddenly drops down from the sky. It is choosing to notice what you like about yourself and consistently choosing to give that more space in your brain. Focus more on that and keep noticing it every single day. When you have negative thoughts about yourself, you just notice that. You just observe, okay, I had a negative thought then. And then you redirect your brain to the loving thoughts. Almost like you imagine you have a dog, you go for a walk with your dog, and the dog is sniffing everywhere and going down all kinds of paths, and you gently pull it back to the track. You gently pull it back. Here, we're going this way now. And it just feels better when you think positive thoughts about yourself. And there's an amazing side effect of that, and that is when you become better at having positive thoughts and loving thoughts about yourself, you also become better at having this kind of thoughts about others. You expand your capacity to love. And as you know, love just feels better than criticism and judgment and negativity. So this is in all a win-win situation for everyone around you and yourself. Now, does that mean then that you always have to be just super positive no matter what happens and even if you do things that you are not proud of? Of course not. And this leads me to point number two. Have your own back in difficult situations. Like if you screw up something or you don't know how to respond in a situation and you choose something that afterwards you regret, or you see that there was a better way to react, you wish you would have done something differently. I often say that one of the most frequent sorts of domestic violence is the violence we do against ourselves inside our brains. It is the self-beating, the self-judging, the self-shaming that we do when we realize we either made a mistake or didn't do well enough or could have done better. And we think that this is very necessary. We think that we need this in order to work harder or become better at something, do better, or make more of an effort next time. But that in reality just makes us feel horrible and fear the next time we'll get beaten up by our inner critic. And this will of course eventually lead us to not dare to put ourselves out there, take chances, try new things, or challenge ourselves, because we are so afraid of our own judgment. Now, this has got to stop. It is completely unnecessary and it doesn't serve you. You don't perform better or react better next time when you trash talk yourself. It's actually the contrary. Think about if you want to teach a child to ride a bike and the child tries to ride the bike and then they fall down. In this situation, what do you think will make the child learn better and faster? You yelling at them and telling them it wasn't good enough and you have to do better next time? Or you lovingly and kindly encouraging the child to get back on the bike and try again? Here you also want to imagine what your ideal partner would say. Of course, he would tell you that it's not a big deal, you want to see the bigger picture, and he would encourage you to keep going and maybe learn something from the situation. And this is how you want to speak to yourself. Get curious, try to understand what happened and your own reaction and what you can learn if there is a learning to take. You do not, under any circumstances, beat yourself up if a date didn't go well or if you feel responsible for something that didn't go the way you wanted it to, or if someone is rejecting you after you've been dating him for a while. Do not judge or shame yourself here. Support yourself. Speak kindly to yourself. Give yourself understanding and compassion, and see if there's a learning to take. And just as a small hint, I can say the learning will never be I wasn't good enough or I wasn't interesting enough. It's maybe more something like, there were some signs that we were not compatible and that I chose to ignore. Or, I wasn't fully myself. I was trying too hard to impress this man and I want to change that moving forward. I want to practice just being myself. And so on. And we can have situations where we admit to ourselves that I wasn't really proud of my own way of reacting here and I want to work on this moving forward. We can have that without shaming ourselves, without judging ourselves, but just looking at it as a learning experience. Always come from the mindset of being kind to yourself, like your ideal partner, and then take responsibility for whatever happened and move on. So number three in how to be your own best partner is listen to your gut and honor your boundaries. Now, this is especially difficult with people we love or like and we want to have a good connection with. But these are also the people where it's most important to do that, because it's often the people that are closest to us who need to know our boundaries the most. And so to be able to do this, you've got to start by working on your mindset around boundaries and what it really means to set a boundary and why you are holding yourself back from this. And here, you actually have to be willing to disappoint someone that you like or love sometimes. And you have to be willing to choose yourself over others sometimes, which again can trigger all the thoughts about selfishness and so on. But in the end, this is what's going to help you create a long-term emotional well-being that will be for the best for everyone, not only you, but also the people close to you. And most responsible adult people actually will react with respecting you more and feeling more safe around you when you know how to state a boundary. Your ideal partner would totally want you to speak up. He would not want you to ignore your gut feeling or go against yourself for his sake. He would want you to say clearly what you are a no to, so he can trust your yeses. And if you want to learn more about boundaries and why they are important and get some ideas on how you can state a boundary, then go and listen to episode 8. That's an episode where I talk about people pleasing and boundaries. Number 4 in being your own best partner is to be able to emotionally regulate. What does that mean? That means allowing yourself to be open to experiencing all the emotions of human life, without judging them or without pushing them away. And in dating, that means allow yourself to feel sad when something ends, or disappointed when a man doesn't show up the way you want him to or you were hoping for him to do. Allow yourself to sit with that feeling and acknowledge that you have it and that it's okay to feel. Again, you want to think about your ideal partner. He would allow you to feel whatever you feel and to cry if you need that. He would allow you to talk and he would listen. Now, we're talking about your ideal partner here. So the partner that is exactly the way you want him to be. And then you want to get clarity on why you feel this. Give yourself understanding, and that could look like, okay, I feel sad because this is how I experience the situation. These are my thoughts about what just happened. And if I have these thoughts and if this is how I experience it, of course, I feel sad. And then knowing that after all, you do have a choice. Your feelings are created by your thoughts. And even if the thought you had just a moment ago felt right in that moment and that was your perception of the situation, you still don't have to stay in this thought. You can decide what you want to do now. You can decide to choose a new thought and move forward. And you will do this coming from a calm mind of someone that was given permission to feel and who was listened to and who now is ready to decide what is best for herself. Not someone who is in the middle of a storm and upset about the external circumstances or other people or the world in general. And number five in being your own best partner is to develop a deep and unconditional self-trust. Self-trust is knowing that you will do what you decide to do, even if it means creating discomfort from disappointing someone else, for instance, or creating discomfort for yourself in the moment. And we can imagine creating discomfort for someone else, for instance, if you set a boundary that you haven't talked about before. Or we can imagine this kind of discomfort we go through ourselves when we decide to go to the gym, for instance, and when we get to the day when we have to go there, we don't want to do it anyway, and you have to overcome the discomfort to do it. Following through on your commitment to yourself, honoring the appointments you have made with yourself, that will create self-trust. And when you think about it, you can wonder, why is it even a thing? We decide on doing something and then we just don't want to do it when the time comes. And it's of course because we have opposite poles. We might have decided that we're going to go to the gym and then we feel tempted to skip it when the day comes. Or we might have decided on a certain boundary and it doesn't feel good to cross that boundary. But then when we see other people and how eager they are to do something, we feel tempted to ignore that. We feel tempted to take their wants into consideration and ignore our own boundaries. So developing a deep and unconditional self-trust, that begins with your mindset, just like with the boundaries. It begins with being willing to have other people feel disappointed with you or have negative reactions, and also being willing to feel discomfort yourself for following through on a commitment you have made with yourself. And you want to, of course, with your ideal partner, have this deep trust. But the deep trust is something that takes a bit of time to grow. It takes time to develop. And the same goes for the trust you've built with yourself. Deep and unconditional self-trust is a muscle that you can train and develop over time. And I'm going to give you a little exercise to do that if you want to try this out. It's a 30-day self-commitment exercise. And basically what you do is you choose a small task that you want to do every single day for 30 days. Just a small thing that's going to take you 10 to 15 minutes every single day. Something that is realistic and that you just have to commit to. You just have to do it every day. So that could be, for instance, a certain exercise or do some journaling every day in the morning. Read a book that you've been wanting to read for a long time, but where you told yourself you didn't have the time. Meditate or write a message to someone you haven't seen in a long time or go on a dating app. 10 to 15 minutes every day. And so the idea is that you track every day you do it. You keep track of whether you are actually following through on that commitment. And by the end of the 30 days, when you follow through on this, you have grown your self-trust. So it's a very simple exercise that you can try. And once you have grown your self-trust, you can use this in other areas of life as well. Number six in being your own best partner is take care of your needs and wants on a daily basis. Like your ideal partner would want you to be happy and live an exciting and fulfilling life, you want to be responsible for creating this fulfilling and exciting life yourself. And it's not only a question of having a fun and exciting career or a business. It's also about finding out what brings you joy in general in life and go and do that. Have some hobbies or a passion, do some sports or cultivate whatever interest you have. Also, you want to have an interesting friend circle and continue meeting new people. And then you want to challenge yourself. You want to try new things and continue learning new things. You get to take care of all this and create exactly the life that you want. And if you're not sure what to put into this life and you feel your life is basically just career and obligations, then get curious. Look at it as a project. See it as an adventure. try a lot of different things and see what feels good to you, what feels inspiring and motivating, what do you want to do and what do you want to learn more about, what do you want to spend more time on. And it is never too late to find a new passion. I know several people who have discovered their passion of life after being retired. Number 7 in being your own best partner is to take your long-term dreams seriously. When you imagine telling your ideal partner about a dream that you have, such as traveling the world, building your own business, buying a ground and building a tiny house, for instance. If you imagine this, then this man, he would listen and he would totally support you. He would want you to make your dreams reality and he would encourage you to prioritize this in your life. And this is the partner you want to be to yourself. Do not tell yourself that you want to wait with doing all this until you find the love of your life. Do not put your big and long-term dreams on hold until he shows up. So your long-term dream, that could also be taking a new education or writing a book or learning a skill. Something that is a long-term goal that you see in the horizon for yourself and that really inspires you. And if you don't have that, then maybe you want to try to find one. It's a very good way to grow and develop as a person. So this was my take on what it really means to be your own best partner. And why is that so important in dating and relationships and in life in general? First of all, in dating, I want you to remember that we attract what we are a match to. It's not enough to write down on a piece of paper what we want. We need to be a match to that. So you, being an emotionally responsible and confident woman, living your best life and growing in it, that will attract an interesting man who is also emotionally available and self-sustained with his own exciting life. And this is what most of us want, right? We want a man who is emotionally available, emotionally mature, who is self-sustained, who is capable of communicating, and who has his own exciting life, who has a life purpose that inspires him. And when you cultivate self-love and you know how to emotionally regulate and you live your own best life, you can be more comfortable being your authentic self when you meet someone. And that makes it more likely for you to attract the right man. And when you don't make your whole life about dating, you can feel less attached in the beginning. You feel more resilient and less dependent. And that will allow you to enjoy dating more because you have energy to it and you don't need a man for yourself to be happy. It's not an urgent and graspy energy that you're coming from. And also, if you fall down, so to speak, you get up faster and in a more self-encouraging way. And when you know how to do this, chances of staying on the track until you meet the right guy are much better, and you do it in a much better and more confident energy. So those were just some of the reasons why it's really important to be your own best partner when you are dating. But it's also important to stay in that mindset when you are inside a relationship. Because chances of long-term success in a relationship will be higher when you are someone who, to a very high extent, can take care of your own needs, and therefore you meet a man from a place of desire, not needs. Your relationship is based on two adults, each self-sustained with each your amazing life, two adults coming together and doing things that you like to do and that you choose to do, not something that you have to or feel obliged to in order to meet the other's needs. And when you have a life purpose or a big passion or an interesting career that is equally important to you as a man, something that brings you energy, joy, and lights you up, and I'm not talking about a stressful, soul-sucking job here. When you have a thing like that where he's not a part of it, that will also create more attraction. Because what is so interesting to understand is that closeness creates love and safety and connection. But a little bit of distance once in a while, that creates passion and attraction. And it's really healthy in a relationship when your partner gets to experience that there's a part of you that shines outside the relationship. He sees that you have other things in life and you still have kind of some secrets to uncover. There's still a part of you that he doesn't know as well as the part that he knows that is close to him. And the goal in a relationship is to have a healthy balance of these two, closeness and distance. Also, when you know how to emotionally regulate, you also will become better at communicating. And that means you will be coming from a space of having already been seen, heard, and understood, and really listened to by yourself. You will be coming from that place when you communicate something to him, and not a place of feeling really upset and chaotic in your mind. Your emotional well-being long-term will also be much better when you learn how to set your boundaries and do it with confidence. And also, you will be less dependent on his constant validation if you know how to do this for yourself. It doesn't mean you can't appreciate his validation, of course, and we do want a partner who validates us. That's a natural part of a romantic relationship, of course. You do want to receive that, you want to appreciate that, but you don't want to be in a constant need for that. And then for life in general, why is it important to be your own best partner? So most of these seven elements that I just walked you through in being your own best partner, that is actually what I would call general life skills. And they are useful in so many situations. First of all, they're useful in your other relationships, such as your family, your friends, and your colleagues, for instance. It's also really useful for your career or professional life to have these skills. And it's useful when you are setting goals, whether that is in health goals, or creating more wealth for yourself. Basically, these are the skills you need to build and sustain a healthy, fun, exciting, and fulfilling life. So just to recap, what were the seven skills, the seven pieces of being your own best partner? Number one, choose kind and loving self-talk. Number two, have your own back in difficult situations. Number three, listen to your gut and honor your boundaries. And number four, know how to emotionally regulate. Number five, develop deep and unconditional self-trust. And number six, that was take care of your needs and wants on a daily basis. And number seven, take your long-term dreams seriously. And if you want that kind of relationship with yourself, with or without a man, I would be happy to guide you through these steps and help you create the life of your dreams. So get on a call with me, use the link in the show notes, and let's have a chat about this. This is all I had for you today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode and you found it useful. And I will be back in a week, of course. And in the meantime, have fun and enjoy dating. If you like what you're hearing on this podcast and you want to get support from a coach on your love journey, I invite you to book a free consult call with me. You will find the link in the show notes. And also, don't forget to subscribe, and I would love it if you would rate and review this podcast, and then you'll also help other women find it.